Today's reading is from Romans 8, verses 1 to 17, and it's from the New Living Translation, and the words are going to come up on the screen. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those that do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we can call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share this glory, we must also share his suffering. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, your word brings life. Your word is life. It's living and active. We pray that you would speak your word to our hearts and minds this morning for your glory and honour. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you've been here for the last few weeks, you'll know we've been thinking about kingdom lifestyle. What is the lifestyle of somebody belonging to God's kingdom? And I'm grateful for some words that came out of the Word for Today reading some months ago that just leapt off the page at me, entitled Thriving in the Combat Zone, which has made me think. But that's what I want to sort of think about and reflect on today. Now, if you can remember, you may have seen this illustration before, but it actually describes the three realms of heaven, So we've got the three different realms there, entitled the realm of God, the heavenly realm at the top, the spiritual realm in the middle, and the realm of people and things at the bottom underneath. It's a two-dimensional illustration of a three-dimensional concept, really. But we know that when we become a Christian, a believer, somebody who's a follower of Jesus, is positionally seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So that's the believer up on the top there, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. But we also know that's where we'll be when we eventually leave this earth, when we eventually die. But at the moment, we're living in the natural realm, the realm of people and things. And you can see by those arrows, I hope, that we've got the Holy Spirit with us. As that reading from Romans said, we have the Spirit living within us. We have angelic beings to protect us. And there are lots of testimonies of how angelic beings have protected Christians. But we also have the enemy doing all we can to tempt us away from God. And we have lots of people who don't believe, who don't share our faith, living alongside us, who would want us to conform to their ways and their thinking. So it's described as the world, the flesh, and the devil come against us and make it very difficult for us to live out our Christian life in many ways. So we actually live in a battle zone. And Paul knew this. Paul himself wrote this. To me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. So Paul understood the tension of living in the natural realm with all the attacks and the temptations and the difficulties of living amongst a people who didn't believe, didn't understand our faith, of, as Peter says, the enemy prowling round like a roaring lion. He longs to be with Christ in heaven, but he knows he's got a purpose and a mission on earth. And he always encourages Christians in almost every letter that he writes, as you'll see in his epistles in the New Testament, to be encouraged and to remember about your mission and who you are. So I expect you recognise who these are. Oh, they're immediately recognisable, aren't they? We know exactly who they are. They are born into a royal family. There are huge privileges and blessings that they, as they grow up, will know more and more about. They're provided for, really well provided for. They're safe. They're secure. They're in history. Some members of the royal family in history have actually walked away from those privileges and blessings. They've lost them because of their behaviour. They've misused their privileges. But these two children, we hope and pray, will grow up to understand who they are and what they're intended to do and to be. So there are lots of safeguards and security around them. There are people at the moment, while they're young, watching over them. There are, as they grow up, they will have advisors and helpers. And if they go out publicly, we see, don't we, as a royal family go out, masses of security people, not watching them, but they always have their backs to the royal family and their faces towards all the people, keeping an eye out, keeping on the alert for them. So there are lots of safeguards ensuring their security. And they've also got lots of resources. But as they grow up, they will know that they have lots of responsibilities that come with being part of the royal family. So in that letter to the Christians in Rome, Paul wants to encourage them and us today that we are born into a royal family. His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. If there's one thing to encourage us in the combat zone, in this natural realm, that it is we are born into a royal family. When we come to Christ, when we accept his sacrifice and choose to go his way, we are a new creation. We are born into God's family. We're children of the King of Kings. And we can see that in Jesus. He always knew who he was and who he belonged to. And he lived out that status in his mission. And Peter says too, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. How does that feel? To be chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Let's look at some of our privileges and blessings. Well, as Paul begins that wonderful passage from Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. We are made right with God. We're freed from the power of sin that leads to death. And we are given the Holy Spirit to live within us. And he says in verse 15, we are adopted. We're the chosen and adopted children of God. We are heirs of God's glory. We are inheritors of all God's promises. And the Message version says it this way, which I think is wonderful. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. And that lovely way of expressing, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa, speaks of our position in the heavenly realms, that we are seated with Christ and have the privilege of being able to ask God moment by moment, what's next? What's next? And then to live out that encouragement on earth. So children of a royal family with privileges and blessings. Also, safeguards and security. That relationship with God, that nothing can separate me, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That we are children of God and one in Christ. Christ in us, us in Christ. Such a close relationship, it can't be torn apart. And then Paul says again to the Galatians, you are, or I am, indwelt by the living God, his Spirit in us. So there's all those safeguards and security. Our salvation is completely secure. God promises he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. So just as those royal children have safeguards and security around them, we have that security of knowing who we are, of God's promises. And of course, in the spiritual realm, the angelic beings protecting us. And we also have resources. We have Christ's authority. If you can remember that we've seen several times that at a table of where we stand as a believer and how when we believe, compared to just being a human being, our status changes. We have Christ's authority, which gives us all power over the enemy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have the resource of Christ's strength in us. And we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So we have these resources. We have God's word. We have his promises. We have the Holy Spirit. We have prayer, that resource where we can go to God and ask him for anything we need He promises to provide all we need. But we can also ask him for our day-to-day life. What do you want me to do? What's next, Papa? We have fellowship with each other. So we're here to encourage and support each other. We have the privilege of worship, individually and corporately, worshipping God, knowing his presence and drawing closer to him. And as I've said, we have authority in Jesus' name. We know that nothing is impossible with God, as his word says. We also have responsibilities. We have a responsibility to living out all that God's given us and all that we are in Christ. And Paul says this from prison, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." So there is a call to live a life that's worthy of our calling, a call to obedience and to follow Jesus' example. So have a quick look at this. Now, you may be horrified, and there's no intent of being rude. I just want to make a point. If you'd seen that in the newspapers rather than the first one, I expect you wouldn't have expected it, would you? It doesn't reflect who they are. It doesn't properly portray who they are. You don't expect to see them messy and in rubbishy clothes and looking awful. That's not who they are. That's not who they're born to be. As I said, they're always recognised. They've always got people around them to help them grow in confidence and to help them grow up knowing who they are and what their birthright is. So what does that say to us about thriving in the combat zone? So some questions to think about. Does our behaviour, day by day, our attitude, reflect our royal character? Do we look a bit grubby? Sometimes we do. Wonderful thing is that God's given us his gift of repentance and we can be forgiven and completely cleansed, as his word says, completely cleansed from all sin. So does our behaviour and our attitude reflect our royal character? Are we recognised as part of God's royal family? We had that lovely testimony of Alan's time at work and what he was able to say. As we go around day by day, do people know us as part of God's royal family? Do they know that we're Christians? We can be trusted. We can be approached. We're the ones who might be able to help them. Or are we at all careless in the way we carry ourselves? How are we thinking? What are we believing? Are we full of doubt, worry, discouragement? Or are we actually dealing with that and saying, well, that's not actually part of what we should be doing as a member of God's royal family? Well, thank God he forgives us and lets us start afresh and renews us. And maybe as parents too, are we helping our children to know this? You're our children, you're our grandchildren, but actually you are children of the King of Kings. So let's think of those characteristics that Paul brings out in that passage. We are chosen, picked out. We are royal. We are holy. We are special. How does it feel to know that that is your birthright? That is who you are. That is who we are. Chosen, royal, holy, and special. Is that a day-by-day experience in our lives? Or do we need to grow in some of those areas? Paul says further on in Romans this, "Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Those royal children need to grow up thinking and believing who they are. It's not a plastic overcoat that they put on when they go outside or they go somewhere. It's their inherent character. This is who you are. You are children of the royal family. You're part of the royal family. Your inheritance, for George particularly, is one day, we pray, to be king. So helping him to think that, to know that through and through. And God's promise that he will help us with that. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? So just in a moment of quiet, just think, how might life this week or in the future be different? If at the forefront of our mind, if constantly in our thinking, moment by moment, in every situation, we recognised, we knew that we are royal children of the King of Kings, our Father in heaven. Let's just spend a moment thinking maybe of our week, maybe of some of the things we're dealing with, things that are challenging us. Might it be different if we remembered we are children of the King of Kings with every resource possible, every need provided for? God always wants to encourage us. As we were praying this morning, somebody who didn't know what I was speaking about or the reading or anything sensed God saying that he wanted us to know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We sang it in our worship. There is no condemnation. This resurrection life you received, says Paul, from God, is not a timid grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we are your children. We are children of the King of Kings. We are royal children. We are a royal family. Come by your Spirit, impart that afresh to our hearts and to our minds, that we will think moment by moment and remember who we are, that we might live lives worthy of that calling. That people would recognise us, that your kingdom might grow, and all this, Lord, for the honour and glory of your name, we pray. Amen.